It is Thursday, the 11th of December, and this is episode 231 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to the end of season party. That is Digital Outbox episode 231. I am Chris, joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Christopher. I am drunk tonight on mince pies.
Have you got your party hat on and your, what do they call those things?
Streamers? No?
I don't know. Streamers are the things you throw, aren't they? Let's say party poppers, shall we?
What are they called?
Them. Stop photocopying your ass. Let's go. That's what happens at Christmas parties, right?
No.
I'm sure that's what people do at office parties and stuff. Anyway, yes, end of season review. So this is the last one for this year. So we'll get through the news and stuff. But the next time you hear us after this podcast will be in the new year, probably about time CES kicks off. I think that's where we normally start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. So let's have a think and talk about what's been happening since we last spoke to you, which is probably just about a week and a half ago. So that we're starting today with a story about Sony Pictures, who have been threatened by attackers, by basically hackers. So this started out as a kind of hacking where someone hacked into the system and stole a whole ton of data, including employee data and 4 unreleased movies. But it's taken a sinister turn. So something's happened this week, basically, hasn't it?
Well, it's really weird because this started off as like, yeah, I've hacked and nobody could access their PCs and stuff. And there was signs up. There was people, you know, posting pictures saying, you know, you can't access, you know, when you come online, come into the office, don't hook up to Wi-Fi, don't plug your PC in, don't try and log in. And it just got worse and worse, you know, and including like, you know, there's like, you know, famous people's social security numbers and like what they get paid and all sorts.
So this is a massive hack. It started off as, which was bad enough to start with anyway. But there's been messages going out to employees and saying, you know, basically agree to our proposals or, you know, harm will come to you and your family in similar words. So it's pretty sinister now. Many people saying that adding 1 and 1 probably making 3, but saying this could be in response to them making there's a movie that's coming out that sort of derides North Korea in a kind of comedic way, but sort of takes the piss out of it.
It does, and it's called Interview, and it's basically asking 2 interviewers to kill North
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. And North Korea aren't happy at this, and seemingly...
Yeah, it's not even pseudonyms. It's actually saying, you know, these are the characters and these are the, you know, we want you to take them out.
Yeah. But this is like a massive... And it's now got to the point now, Sony are now using... a whole load of Amazon computers to try and denial of service the sites that are hosting these unreleased cinema movies.
Right.
It's just mental what's going
Sony
on.
Sony is... Wow. Is that legal?
Well, is it legal to host a movie in the first place? So,
well, yeah, I don't know. But wow. So anyway, this clearly some sophisticated hacking methods. There's some sinister, like I say, background to this now, especially with threats being made. Really not a very nice position to be in. And they are working with the authorities to try and sort it all out.
Some chucklesome stuff, but I mean, there was like folders released. And in the folders was things like password.txt. And the text file was full of passwords for lots of different social media sites for different movies and films. So clearly they've not learned anything since like the, you know, PSN network was hacked, you know, 3 years ago. It was like, yeah, let's just keep it in desktops. Or whatever.
I don't think, though, that, you know, I think we say that as a deriding, but pretty much, you know, the soft center of operating system, yeah. Fair enough. The soft center, I think most environments will, you know, if you had a serious hack like that, most organizations and systems would have exactly the same situation, which is, you know, once you're through that hard outer layer, the soft insides are freely digestible.
Maybe you're right.
Think?
I think for some things. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just in a little bubble. You know, where like key pass files are used, and you know, like we put passwords in them. You know.
I think you'd be surprised.
Oh, I probably would be. I'm probably going to go in tomorrow and find out there's a password doc text file on somebody's desktop, or I've written in a book. I have. That's the only thing. If somebody walked into the office, I think there's books with passwords on them.
Yeah. Again, there's layers of protection out there. Physical access would be needed then. There's all sorts of different layers, aren't there? Everyone to a T has probably written down a password somewhere, whether it be in a file or whether it be somewhere else. I'm certainly not immune.
Oh, no, I've done that. My only protection is it's sitting inside LastPass, similar. So I need the password to get in to get to the password.
So yeah, you're like resting on your laurels by thinking, yeah, I'm inside LastPass, but there's no saying that they haven't got a serious security.
I'm saying LastPass as well. I'm talking about 1Password.
Okay, well, I use LastPass.
Oh no, I don't trust
But you
them.
Rely on their security, so you assume that they're out nice and secure, don't you?
Absolutely.
But you don't know that.
My fingerprint is my security. Nobody's going to chop this bad boy off.
So Google.com has come under European scrutiny because at the moment the right to be forgotten is a European only, or European, I think Canada as well, initiative. But people can get around this right to be forgotten by just typing in Google.com rather than Google.co.uk. European Union aren't happy about this, and the courts are saying they might insist that .com also, for European users, has these listings removed. Europe finally remembering that the internet's not a geolocated service.
It just seems bizarre they've taken them this long to do it. I think we said at the time, you know, you can just go to Google to get around.
Well, we were surprised at the time that they weren't covering that, and therefore, you know, you could just go to google.com.
Yeah.
But how they're going to implement this, don't know. Obviously, it impacts Google more than anyone else. They're kind of 90% of the market, and whether they then have to start doing IP masking, which takes it to another level, but still won't stop people sort of spoofing that if they really want to find this information. I guess it's about hiding information just from your everyday searches for the everyday person.
I mean, to remember, I had a conversation about what we was talking about. Somebody was talking about piracy and how easy is it and how hard is it, and they weren't aware of like the kind of, you know, the firewall or the kind of masking that goes on in Britain now where everything gets hidden, you know, and also things like, you know, Google doing this and you can just apply and get your name removed in certain sites.
It's frightening.
And it just felt like, oh, I thought that was just abroad. And I was like, no, it is very
I thought
much...
that was just the countries we used to like deride for doing it.
Yeah, like your Irans and Chinas, you know, those communist countries where they like to keep control.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes. Okay. So, but also chuntering this week from the European Parliament about Google's position of dominance. What can only be described as a kind of fake vote to see whether they are even interested in talking about breaking Google down into breaking away the search from its other enterprise sort of. Other fingers in other pies, basically. So taking search as an individual thing based on its position of dominance. And basically that vote passed. So they will be taking a look at Google in Europe and working out how they can break it up to try and give European countries a chance to break into the markets that Google is so dominant in.
I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, why do a vote on something that they can't enforce? You know, and also, seemingly, they didn't name Google. Seemingly, they were to kind of protect themselves. They didn't name Google, but they named a company that has is market leader in these three things and does all this and that. All of that rubbish. I sound like Farage, but
it does sound a bit bizarre that they have to have a vote to be able to then talk about something. It does sounds a little bit like layers of bureaucracy, doesn't it? But it is good to know that they are going to be looking at this. I say good to know in that, you know, they have the power to scupper this. You know, I mean, Microsoft has been downhill since it needed to break its operations up.
And it's only just now we're seeing Microsoft almost like, I'm not saying recovering, but doing something, you know, radically different to try and, you know, come back into the game almost. You know, it's...
Yeah, so I think when you actually look at what Google is involved in, if you think Android is probably the biggest operating system now. You've got the search, which it's got 90% of the body of. And also in these notes, it's saying that Google holds the majority now in browsers. I hadn't been aware that we'd made that switch. I didn't think it was that. But
yeah, I think certainly in Europe, we seem to have been faster adopters of Chrome. And it's the same with the search engine. You know, it's like, I think abroad, I think, you know, maybe Bing has a little bit more of a foothold. Not much. But I think across Europe, Chrome and the search engine are pretty dominant.
It's, you know, when we started this podcast, if we'd said in, you know, by episode 231, whatever we're on, Microsoft would be a failing company, not a failing company, I think that's unfair, but and Internet Explorer wouldn't be the, you know, the number one browser. We'd go, no, that could never happen. That's never going to happen.
Yeah, and we'd still be playing games that like matchmaking doesn't work on. Surely, surely that'll be fixed by now.
We didn't even have matchmaking. That's not true.
Yes, we did. Come on. Halo 2 is 10 year old.
God, is it?
Really? That's why it's an anniversary edition.
Flipping heck. It's bonkers, isn't it? I've actually finished playing through all those. I've played four Halos. You? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The only bit I haven't done is the multiplayer, which is the only bit I really bought them for.
As did I, and I've read like the patches this week. Seemingly, I've finally got round most of the problems, and I've actually enabled proper 4v4 and 8v8 on modes now.
Cool,
bring it.
We'll go and we'll report back after the Christmas period then about that. So yes, European looking to break out or break up Google, or at least looking at the possibility of doing so. Not to protect consumers. I mean, this is to try and promote business inside Europe. So this isn't some effort to protect user and their privacy and all those kind of things. They're just saying, no, we just want to give our European businesses a chance.
And I always naively thought like Monopoly and Mergers Commission was all about protecting the consumer, but clearly.
Clearly not.
No.
Capture is being reinvented by Google this week. They are going for a method that doesn't involve you having to read some squiffly text and instead tries to work out programmatically whether you're human. This all looked far too good to be true, but it looks quite interesting.
Yeah, and everybody must have had to suffer some sort of capture form at some point, even if it's just signing up at banks and stuff. A lot of them
it's horrid.
It's rubbish.
It's horrid because you're moving from a mouse driven interface to then having to go to the keyboard and go back to the mouse. It's awful, especially if you're on a mobile app, it's even worse.
And also when you get it wrong, because we've all got it wrong at some wrong. Point and you look and at wrong. It you look at it and wrong. Go is that a Z
I can't read it.
Is it an R with a dash?
Ironically, there's probably a computer program that would work it well out.
Exactly. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe the computers are the only one that can read CAPTCHA now.
So Google actually built a system that could crack most of the CAPTCHAs, you know, 99% of the time, or even 99.5% of the time. So they decided they'd try and do something different. So this CAPTCHA actually just starts out as a checkbox. But what it's doing is recording your metrics and your usage about how you fill in the form and how you navigate the page to identify for the majority of people whether when you click on that click on the checkbox, you are or are not human. If it cannot determine it or it's unsure whether you are from its diagnostics, then it's going to show you some sort of clickable images, basically something that is going to, again, be hard for a computer to sort out. So you won't be able to, you won't have to reach for your keyboard. It's all mouse driven. So it should be a lot less frictional. In theory, it looks great.
Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah. Very clever.
I'm sure it's going to be rolled out everywhere. You can go and sign up now for an API and all those kind of things.
I just hope it's rolled out before Europe break up Google.
Yeah. We want these nice new features. and self-driving cars. We want them as well, right?
Yeah, but Google Glass, not so much.
Yeah, good with that. Europe's definitely going to ban that. Google My Maps, new tool. You can create maps within your drive. Now, I haven't really followed the story, so what's this all about then?
Basically, just a nice way of taking a map from, you know, like maps.google.co.uk or .com and, you know, placing your points on it, but actually storing the output inside your Google Drive.
Because you could always put your own points on your own maps, right? But it was never really a used feature because it's not somewhere you can go and store it.
Or... No, apart from taking an image. And if you take an image, there's no point putting the points on because you're not, you know, it just all felt a bit redundant. And this way is just a nice, I mean, I'm just back from being over in Washington and I didn't buy data. So I was relying on, you know, leeching Wi-Fi, whatever I could. And there were times where it was like, I really wish I had some data right now just to know exactly where I am. And you were trying to figure out on a map. And even just taking, you know, having a map or like points I want to go to would have been, you know, pretty handy. Yep. Just within an app, you know, rather than an image. So yeah, nice little feature.
Yeah, nice that you dropped in. You're in the US. How did that go? Was that good?
It was fantastic. I walked too much.
How very un-American of you.
Exactly. I was only me and Robert, so For Real, who I might have mentioned on here before, and who used to game with us. We 12 miles first day, 18 miles second day, 18 miles third day, 12 miles fourth day.
Flipping it. Taxi.
No, don't get a taxi. Because the taxi I went into, so this was me and one of the guys that I work with who was moving into an Airbnb, and he says, mind if we get a taxi over to where I'm moving to? I was like, no, let's get a taxi. Get in the taxi. I know I'm digressing. Get in the taxi. And the guy's like, where are you going? And the guy says, I'm going to this address, you know, North Hanover in Arlington. And the guy turns around and goes, I do not know Arlington.
Wow.
And I'm right, all right. So I'm thinking, get a map out, mate.
And was that your cue to get out?
No, so he just turns around and starts shaking the head. And then and he says, so what, give him the street again? So he reads out the street and I was like, this is the zip code help. He went, no, you guys don't know Arlington. It's a mess. And I don't know it either. And I'm looking at him thinking, right, well, tap it in your GPS and let's go. He has no map. He has no GPS. He gets out a phone and phones his mate to find out where it is, who doesn't know where it is either. So he puts the phone down. He just turns around and says, I will just drive there and we'll tour around. And I was like, I says, mate, we ain't touring anywhere. I said, unless you're going to give us a free ride, we ain't touring anywhere. And he says, well, I don't know it. So at this point, I'm just getting the phone out. I'm still within Wi-Fi range of the hotel. And I'm like, well, I know where it is. There it is there. So it's only 2.5 miles away. He's like,
welcome to the USA, land of Google.
And he says, but I don't know where it is. I went, yeah, and I don't know Arlington. I says, so you take it. I says, what about, I said, I'll give you a street nearby. So I give him the next street along. And he's like, I don't know that either. And I'm like, Jesus. So then I say, Highland. Oh, no, Highland. I says, ideal. You take us to Highland. I'll take you to this new street. And it's like, yeah, but you don't understand. I says, look, mate. I says, the three of us are just trying to get to our destination. You're going to drive us nearby. We're going to help you the last little bit. Nobody's trying to lose their head here. Just going to take us. And then he takes us and then he starts shouting at us about he can't stop at this place and all this kind of nonsense. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, okay, walk. You should have walked. Anyway, 23andMe. 23andMe is a company who do DNA testing. They have been doing testing in the US for several years, but actually they got kind of shut down because people who are having these tests done, you know, because they're, you know, like all insurance and stuff like that, they were getting unfairly treated. So in the US, you can't have this done anymore. But in the UK, we have signed off to say, yep, if you want to have your genetics analysed, this company can do it for you.
I've done it with them as well. I sent my spittle off about 3 years ago.
And how has your insurance claims been since then?
Fine.
Yeah. So, I dare not ask, are you going to die?
Clearly.
Wow.
So, but
soon? Sooner than expected?
No, I came back and said there's a higher risk of some sort of early blindness and a couple other things. And then basically said next to it, and there's nothing you can do.
And
it was one of these things. It was I was halfway through my kind of health kick. It was getting into all the stat stuff. I wanted to do this. I pinged it off. I thought it would tell me a bit more than it actually did. And there's a whole other like surveys you can get involved in. And the interesting bit is this company was owned by the ex-wife of one of the Google owners. Mm-hmm. So there was always a bit of, you know, Google are holding your DNA and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, whatever. And you can toggle things to say, you know, I'll do research on my DNA and use it in, you know, bits and pieces.
There was a whole Radio 4 documentary not that long ago about what do they do with the data, how do they hold it, and is it right that they hold it, all those kind of things.
Yeah, and I never felt particularly, you know, that fussed about it. There's a whole kind of side bit to this now, is there's a whole load of family tree nonsense coming out. So relatives get in touch and say, "Hey, I'm your fourth cousin," and I'm like, "Yeah, okay, whatever." whatever, hillbilly. It's all put it this way, for the money I just didn't think it was worth it. It's one of these things you did because a lot of other people were doing it at the time, and I was like, oh, okay, I wanted to do it.
So
more.
The service cost £125 to do, and they will, I mean, I guess if it's kind of good that it doesn't come back with a lot. I think if you came back with a lot on it, you'd probably be in trouble, right? That's the whole point.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, there is lots of things on it. And I think some people, it has said to them, you know, you do have early signs of this, you know, and some fairly, you know, fairly serious, you know, diseases, you know, and there is some sort of, you know, and within your DNA, the likelihood of you getting this is a lot higher. You know, I'm just logging in just now so I can quickly see my my results. So if I go into health risks, it's not the fastest. Yeah, so I have age-related macular degeneration.
Wow.
My risk is 36%. Average risk is 6.5%, so I'm 5 times the average.
See, but this is the kind of information that you have got to be careful about going, you know, insurance firms and stuff like that. I don't want them to have that, really.
No, and that's the thing, because, I mean, an insurance firm could look at it and go, hell.
Oh, well, yeah, your premiums are going to be massive, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, and that's, I think that's what Americans were worried about, especially because they use all these signals, don't they? They're massive.
But at the same time, there's a whole load that I'm a lot less. Yes. You know, so like
they won't care about that though.
Type two,
petrol prices go up, not down.
Yeah, type 2 diabetes, Alzheimer's, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, all these things I'm lower. But then there's a whole load that I'm higher. You know, like type 1 diabetes. Great, and restless leg syndrome.
Wow.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. Either.
Imagine what it would be like to crawl into bed every night, ready to catch some much needed Z's, only to be struck by an irrepressible urge to move your legs as soon as you begin to relax. That's restless legs.
Weird. Weird.
So every night I'm going to do a marathon. That's basically they're saying.
Okay. Let's move on. Twitter.
Sorry, I am digressing every story. Yeah. I must stop.
Twitter is it's starting to track what apps you're using. So it is now actively looking at what other apps are installed on your devices. With a view, they're saying to obviously smash you with adverts. But basically, yeah, they've just said, yeah, we're looking at that now.
How rude.
I know.
I didn't like that. I mean, I don't install Twitter for them to go and, you know, but they're saying that your apps are the next kind of big market they want to go and chase, and Facebook are looking at it, and so are other people. What apps have you got on?
I'm pretty sure that loads of other services do. I'm pretty sure that junky games that you install do this as well.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But Twitter are doing it as well. And, you know, we hold them to a higher standard. They've also updated their reporting, so you can now report abusive or worrying tweets more easily, especially as a third party. You no longer have to fill in a big form. You get sort of buttons, and you can sort of mark down the kind of generic, you know, why this tweet has concerned you. And it's just basic signals then go out to Twitter, and they can then identify whether a tweet has attracted enough signals, basically. Bit like Xbox Live does this as well, doesn't it?
I think they had to do. The amount of abuse on Twitter is just shocking.
Ugly.
They had to do. Twitter has got ugly. Twitter over the last, I don't know whether it's always been that way, and just because there's more cases of it now, it just feels a bit.
Is it anywhere where you've got comments and reporting and things like that? You get it as well online, so you get horrible abuse in YouTube videos and things like that. The problem is that they're very low exposure, so you have to be actively reading. It's a bit like in forums of old, you know, you have to be actively reading that forum to be exposed to that kind of horrid thing. But Twitter is generic and global, and therefore you don't necessarily have to be exposed. You don't have to directly go and have a read of that. You can be exposed by, you know, 6 degrees of freedom, whatever. So you can probably be exposed to everything that's going on Twitter eventually.
And there is a bit of mob mentality about it, more so than you saw in forums, because as you say, forums you can always choose to duck out of, but Twitter is like, if you keep up with your stream, it's always in your face, and it's like...
And especially, as directed at you, but also, you know, you can see it being directed at other people, can't you? It's very visible, very visible.
Thankfully, we have never suffered abuse, Chris.
Oh, I don't know, because I don't actually use Twitter.
Oh, okay. Let me just go online. Cheesy UK, you.
Last tweeted ages and ages and ages ago. Yeah, you can say whatever you like. I'll report you.
Really?
Instagram has got 300 million users. 70 million photos a day photos and videos are posted. It has now outgrown Twitter's user base. Wow.
Yes.
I would have never expected that, but there you go.
I think, but you know, about a year ago and stuff, they talked about that they were on the right, you know, upward trend to kind of catch up and go for it. But I think Twitter has kind of stalled slightly.
I think it has. I really do. I think it's maybe found its level.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might, you know, it might drop a bit and increase a bit, and they'll do some things to play.
It's a big enough level.
Yeah, and I think for me as well, Twitter, they're almost playing around too much with what they're wanting to do. You know, they're trying to find, how do we go and get that next, you know, 100 million? It's not even a billion. How do we get the next 100 million folk in?
They're trying to work out how can we get what the people we've already got spending some money with us, or at least earning us some money, because otherwise it's just a money hole.
Yeah, and I've seen the whole people like to kind of tweet along with TV, you know, so that's obviously that entertainment kind of thing that they want to tap into, the, you know, live events and stuff, that there's obviously big markets here for the, you know, hashtags. And but a lot of it is, you know, a lot of, just look at the hashtags proper, a lot of it's just people jumping on just to spout nonsense.
It's not even related.
No, so it's advertisers or whatever, you know, just saying, well, if that's a proper hashtag, then I'll get my advert out.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Instagram has still, I mean, for all their things about we're going to put ads in it and we're going to put video ads, it still actually is a very, very clean, simple product. And the photos of the folk I follow are really good. You know, it is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of, yeah, it's Twitter without the words, really, isn't it? So it's just follow along what someone's doing via pictures and stuff. Yeah. Shows the sizes of all these relative things. So Twitter has 284 million. So Instagram's just gone to 300. But Facebook, Facebook owns Instagram, so it's got those 300 million. It's got Messenger, Facebook Messenger, which is 500 million. WhatsApp, 600 million. And Facebook itself has got 1.1 billion mobile monthly active users. When you think how many people are in the world, that's the sixth of the people in the world.
Absolutely.
Monthly active on mobile.
I know. It is a phenomenal figure.
It's unbelievable. I don't even know how the infrastructure can stand. It must be pretty amazing.
And I really can't see that. You know that way where it was like it was MySpace and it moved on to other things. I can't see what's going to do anything to that now. It feels like.
But we said that about.
No, I know, but I struggle to see what would shift so many people now, because it's become not just the kind of tech crowd. It's like so many others.
It's just part of everyday life. Like, I think we said it a while back. For some people, it was the internet, and I think that's still very, very true today. I think
it's like Google as a search engine. You know, it just feels like, you know, Bing's come along and tried it, and yeah, just duck, go.
Tried really hard as well, but didn't work.
Yeah, it just feels like it's now got to such a mass that unless there is some sort of legal ruling to displace it, that it's very difficult to do.
Dashlane, the password manager, has released an update which basically auto-generates you new passwords every X period, which kind of, I guess it's a direction that means that humans no longer deal with passwords. It's always your password manager, and it does it in a secure way. It makes sure that it enforces that you update, and you never have to remember it as long as you're on a secure authorized device. You don't have to worry about passwords anymore. It kind of integrates with all the biggest services around, so Amazon, Facebook, Google, all those kind of things, Twitter. So basically, yeah, you never have to remember a password again.
And it was the fact that it was kind of automatically do it for, you know, the top 50 accounts, the top 50 websites.
Yeah.
Was really, really quite slick, you know, rather than, because password management is a chore. There's no getting away from it. It is an absolute chore.
Even though I've got LastPass and I use it for nearly everything, I'm still lazy with it.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody is. It's just one of these things that it is, oh, what a pain. And it was interesting because they said they'd bought technology and they've spent a long time, you know, integrating it. And then a few hours later, LastPass came out and says, yeah, we're doing the same, but we're doing it for the top 75.
Yeah, we're doing it and we're doing it more. Yeah, it's, chances are they've been thinking about it for a while. Maybe it just booted them into action. And you know, it, nevertheless, as a technology, you have to have all your devices authorized. Otherwise, now you literally cannot get into a site without having to, you know, go through the whole password reset routines kind of thing. So again, it's another one of those things about the soft underbelly, though. You know, are Dashlane and 1Pass going to be sufficiently secure that, that you can rely on them for everything? Because literally, you are then in their hands. That's it, full stop, done.
No, absolutely. It's the same worry that, you know, once you start putting everything in iCloud, Dropbox, you're, you are...
Yeah, once they get exposed, everything's exposed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pirate Bay. So they've been, you know, remember Pirate Bay? So they're still one of the most popular websites on the internet, and there've been some seizures over in Switzerland, and servers, the service went down basically. So last we heard of them, they kind of came back online, and they were saying, right, we can never be brought down because now we're non-location based, we can pop up wherever we like. But it seems like they did manage to raid them, and that did take them down. They'll probably be back at some point, but at the moment they are down.
Yeah, it's been a couple of days they've been down. Lots of people were saying if you went to piratebay.cr, I think it was for Costa Rica, that it was up and running. But seemingly that was just a front to the old site, and it was some sort of... No, it was just a kind of empty shell. It was almost like a ghost page that was up and running, and there was nothing there. They're still one of the biggest sites out there, so to take it down is going to have a fairly big impact. But I don't think it's... I'm almost tempted to say it's not the same impact as it would have been 5 years ago.
No, I think it's a bit indifference, isn't it? And I think the reason it's a big difference from 5 years ago is because we do have legitimate places to go and get our movies now. So, you know, you don't have to go to Pirate Bay to go and... find the movies that you just can't get over here, whatever, we can't pay your money for.
Yeah, I still think you're not going to get rid of torrent sites or pirate sites until you get. I mean, see if you could go and get like buy a movie for £2.
Sure. Done. Yeah, until it becomes that kind of level, until the movies and music jump on that bandwagon, which everyone else has jumped on, they just seem to be dragging their heels. Yeah. Inventor Ralph Baer has died aged 92. Now, he's commonly considered the father of video games. He was pretty instrumental in the development of the sort of original idea for a games console to attach to your TV.
Yeah, he was part of a team that developed what was called a brown box that hooked up to the TV.
Catchy.
And you could play... Exactly. Come and play my brown box. Microsoft spent years just making beige PCs, so
yeah.
As did Apple, brown as did IBM.
Quite,
it's so
quite exciting.
Yeah, let's use brown plastic. who would want grey or white? Let's use brown. Joking aside, this guy was, you know, one of the forefathers of, you know, the consoles that we play now.
Yeah, the home console.
So sad to see him go.
Good innings.
Absolutely. So 92.
Yeah, I'll be happy. PlayStation Expo has been going on, and they've been showing us videos of Uncharted, which looked very nice.
Yeah, it looked lovely. Looked really, really lovely.
Street Fighter, they're rolling that back out.
So Street Fighter 4, this was one of Shaq's annoyances when he picked up his PS4, actually, that Street Fighter 4 came out for the 360 and PS3 and not for the new consoles. So they've said that... The Street Fighter 4 is coming to PS4, and Street Fighter 5 is a PS4 exclusive.
Okay.
And PC, so it's going to be in both.
I haven't played Street Fighter since SNES.
No, but there's
Mega
still
Drive SNES.
There's still a massive community out there.
Yeah, but it just doesn't interest me anymore. It was fun. It was fun when you used to play games in the same living room and all pass around the controllers, but. Since the advent of online, I don't think fighting games have ever caught up to the kind of... Because it's you know, a game of quick flick reactions, isn't it? You can't do that online properly.
Yeah, there was a couple of them that kind of worked okay, but it was never...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's a compromise.
And I guess the interesting thing is they're promising for Street Fighter V that a PC player can play against a PS4 player.
Oh, okay.
Which, because there's always been that debate about, you know, controls and, you know, you know, especially, but not so much for the fighting or games like that. It was always like first person shooters. They talked about, you know, PC versus, you know, a console, but the PC player had his mouse and could
Can point and shoot easy. No Man's Sky has also had airings of its sort of gameplay, and just to sort of show the scale of the game. I've been watching along. Now, I know you're very excited by this game. I've been watching along, and I think as a tech demo, it looks, you know, pretty amazing. I just don't know how interesting it's going to be to play. And it did, I mean, the videos I've been watching, it does really show you the scale of things, as in, you know, it starts off at a planet, and then you zoom out to this, the universe, effectively, and it is ginormous. I mean, as they say, you'll never get to see most of it. You'll never really get to see other players. You'll never get to interact. So I'm just wondering what the hook's going to be. They've got to work on that hook.
Agreed. And that is the big unknown. There's lots of questions about, you know, so it all looks stunningly impressive. And it does tap into that whole, you know, almost as like a pretty elite, or a kind of more let's focus on the planet type elite. But
how exciting is it going to be after a while of just going down to a planet, seeing another sort of environment, going and then flying back out again? How exciting is that going to be?
There was an article about 2 months ago, and they did say there was a plot line there. You didn't have to visit. I think they were talking about visiting only a certain amount of planets to uncover the plot. It did take you towards the kind of center of the galaxy. And
the galactic center, which means that you're going to become into contact with other people.
And they said it was the chances of you bumping into people very, very slim. But there was this kind of idea of there's a game there, and there's a way of trading and doing some certain things. But they also admitted that some people will just like to, you know, fly around, roam around, and not do very much.
And I'm sure that there's something in that. But I don't know that there's ever been a game which is just about that kind of, you know, not having a direction that actually holds. In theory, everyone goes, yeah, that'd be amazing, can hang out in these worlds. But actually, there's no hook there. You just won't bother.
And there's a danger. We talked about, you know, we've talked about it before, GTA, when the online mode came out, and everybody was like, GTA Online is going to be fantastic. Mm. And it was so unfocused that it was just annoying.
Yeah.
And I'm being harsh. You know, obviously, lots of people still played it online, enjoyed it. But for me, the difference between that and a really focused, small Call of Duty Halo map where, you know, there was like, you know, five or six, you know, dramatic points, you're always in a bit of action instead of just like, I'm just going to run around, or I'm going to sit on top of this skyscraper and snipe and wait 10 minutes for somebody to appear. Somebody appeared, oh, I missed. Damn. You know, there is a bit of the kind of Ghost Recon siege mode and blind siege mode, you know, and you know, sitting in bushes and then like, oh.
Yeah, I get shot endlessly in the back. Waiting, and then it was all very disappointing.
Shot in the back. Done. Let's play again.
No, I agree. So I am still interested in it. I am more interested in it from just a, you know, I want to see how it goes. I'm not so excited about actually getting my hands on it.
No, the other thing is it's something different, you know, and that's the thing. There's so many of the game, if you look at the game shows this year, so many of it was just another first person shooter.
Sure. But then it's a bit like
sports game.
Bit like MasterChef the Professionals, often the ones that try and cook something different are the ones that get booted out. That is the end of this year's news. There is going to be no more news now until January. We can guarantee it because we won't be covering it. However, for a very special occasion, which is being this last one of 2014, you have a pick for us, Ian.
I have a pick, and it's called Crossy Road, and probably everybody's played it, but see if you're not, go and download it.
I haven't.
It's free, and it's basically just an endless Frogger.
Right, okay. So you never get to go into the little holes at the end. But what's the point?
But it's just really addictive. And the thing is, the actual, at first I was put off because I thought free and that purchase, this is going to be horrible, but it's done really well because I think they've got about 50 different. They've got 50 different, you know, like little chickens. You can be a chicken. You can be a little zombie. You can be a slow turtle. You can be a cat. And if you want to buy them, they're 69p. But as you just play through it, they just unlock anyway. You know, and it's right, just okay. The game is actually really well balanced, and it's just see for that whole pick up for 5-10 minutes. Yeah. Oh, it's got it in spades.
I quite like the look of it. I'm looking at the website now.
It looks fantastic as well. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's only iOS at the moment, so iPad and iPhone.
Okay. But, Crossy Road.
And it's just one of these, it's like, and it is quite tricky. So if you can beat my 320 odds, I'll be most annoyed.
I can never beat your scores. In fact, I will get to about 10 thinking it's the best thing I've ever, ever done. And then I'll find out. It's a bit like Geometry Wars, when I got a massive score and then realised I was about a tenth of yours, if that.
332 is where I got to.
Okay, there we go.
And I think you could easily get there.
Endless Frogger. Right, okay. I will discuss quickly the games I've been playing. So I have now played through all of the Halo. I've played 1, 2, 3, 4, realizing that I'd never played the end of Halo 4, never got there, couldn't be asked. I think I enjoyed Halo 4 the least, actually, out of all of them.
I think a lot of people have said that, the lack of Bungie seemingly stands out.
It played around a bit more with format. Occasionally it worked, most of the time it didn't really work that well. But it is a very pretty game. I'm glad I have now seen it through to the end and now actually understand the story a bit of Halo.
I'm actually impressed with how nice Halo 3 looks and against the others.
Now, you say that. I actually felt that was the weakest because it hasn't had any treatment. Especially as how strong the second one with the cutscenes is, it kind of really showed the age of Halo 3 then.
Yeah, okay.
But you know, it's kind of, yeah. I enjoy playing through them. I've also been playing... what have I been doing? Dragon Age Inquisition. I'm not very far into it. It's a huge and sprawling game. I have to say, at the moment, I'm probably not enjoying it as much as the reviews have said I would. You have to spend a long time in the game. It's massively long.
Yeah, I think they were saying it was 120 or 140 hours worth of like.
But it is. As a world, it's pretty, you know, it's amazingly immersive, really. And for the size of it and the amount of stuff, I think for me, the pacing would be nicer if it was just up a bit. But I'm still going to persevere with it. It's a nice place to go and visit and say it's very well realised.
I did see one criticism which says lots of talk and not much action. As if there was lots of, like, you know, like interaction with characters.
BioWare always are. You always have the decisions and the talking and stuff. So, yeah, and the action is quite spread out. So one of the ways of making it a bigger game is by just spreading out. So whereas before, the other Dragon Age have all been pretty quick-fire action. This one's a bit more spread out. But I can't comment too much because I'm only right at the beginning of it, really. But it is a nice place to spend time. I don't know what else I've been playing, but I'll leave it at those two. They're both worthwhile for sure.
And one other thing worth mentioning is I slagged off Drive Club. It was a bit like Halo, and it just launched and it was broke.
Yeah.
It's had lots of updates. It now is working, and also its weather update came out this week.
And now that it is working, has it still got the people, or is it because the people have dropped off that the reason it's working?
No, it still seems to have the people. They've never released the kind of plus version, so there was going to be that free version coming out for PlayStation Plus users. That's never came out. So I do wonder if that came out, would it just break, like instantly?
Yeah, because everyone would then suddenly stream back on again.
What a pretty racing game that is. And the weather update is just, oh, ooh.
Review and a noise. I love noise reviews.
You just look at it and go, wow. It looks almost out Forza-ish. You know, it does look like, that is really good.
Forza always has an edge of, not cartoon, I'm unable to put my finger on it, but the realism, Forza looks very, very real when it's got its preview of a car mode type thing.
Yeah, but not in-game.
That's a real thing. Yeah, in-game it always feels a little bit more, as I say, I can't put my finger on exactly what it is, but they haven't nailed the lighting and atmosphere, whereas...
No.
I think with some of the pictures I've seen of Drive Club, very much have the kind of the shadowing and stuff. It's a lot more realistic.
Even just when you get the whole day into night night into day, it's such a dramatic effect, and it does actually make it feel very, very different. You know, it is proper. Some of the ones where you drop into night, it's just your headlights and nothing else. And it's like, boy, that's tough. You know, really tough.
And Horizon obviously did that. But again, it was, same universe. It's not quite the same effect. That's it. Thank you very much for getting this far. Thank you for getting through the year. We appreciate it. We'll obviously be carrying on posting. I'm sure I'll be tweeting occasionally at Cheesy UK. I will be posting on my blog about my racing. My car's all been upgraded, so I'm ready to start my new season. So that's academyracer.co.uk. In the meantime, digitaloutbox.com will still exist as a website and an email address, info@digitaloutbox.com. You'll still be able to email that and Twitter and Skype us if you want on Digital Outbox. Ian, where can we find you in the off-season?
My off-season is basically blogging at iand.net, and I'll be putting up copious amounts of Washington photos, so you can have a look at those. And Twitter is Reaper, and I'm thinking, I have an idea for a Digital Outbox refresh.
Wow.
Just some logos and stuff.
Who knew? Don't build it up.
Exactly. because see, come January,
build expectation, people expect things then.
People don't expect, I know my limitations.
Like I say, thanks very much for listening. It is all appreciated. And it's not long till we're back, so I'm sure you'll all be able to cope. And we'll see you in the new year. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, Ian.
that was very formal. 'Dear, that was the most sad ending ever. If that's like the last podcast, we can't make that the last podcast.
Can't leave it like that.
No, I do like your hat.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to wear it to Tesco now.
Wow.
I won't. I'll chicken out.
No, I want to see. I know you said you don't really use Twitter. I want to see you and Tesco taking a selfie with that hat.
Have you seen the, you're supposed to get a Christmas hat and put it on the corner of your TV, and then every time someone wears your Christmas hat, so every time a character on TV is underneath your hat, you have to take a drink. It's a new drinking game. I might do it with my cheesy hat. So you are currently wearing my cheesy hat.
Well, I was going to finish that off with saying my current hat, Shaq says I look like a lesbian in it. But I think I'm just pleased I'm wearing the cheesy hat, to be honest.
Oh, I'll take a screen grab.
I feel I should pose.
No, I have to line it up better. No, never mind. This is if this is going in the podcast, this is rubbish.